winter, there's a huge ice sculpture. So they use that to do their snow and ice sculpture. So I'm sure we can figure it out. It is. Well, that started out last year. Because what they learned from Winnipeg is this is kind of at one end, but it's in the middle. So what they did is they went down and back and then continue on. They got to count all the way. It's just a cheesy little nod that fuck you when I'm It's part of the canal. The canal is a World Heritage Site. That's where it's panned up. And so, this is, for lack of a better word, they call it Dow's Lake. So I think it was originally a little. No. When they made the canal through it. So there's a couple of wider ones. That's the widest one.
I can't believe I made it down that store back.
All right, folks, top of the hour. We're on hold for Peter and Rod and the board, but let's go ahead and start migrating toward our seats. Quiet, everybody. Do you have a question, Kristen?
Yeah, I'm speaking. So Rod and Peter are coming?
Yes, Rod and Peter are coming, and we hope some members of the board.
Oh, so, just the two of them are up there, then one of the seven dwarves?
Yeah, the board will scatter around. But Jeff just brought up the idea of what the... Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. So the format will be, we've asked Rod and Peter to comment on a couple of specific areas. One is the ICANN's and the board's current priorities, along with their reasoning for those priorities, and then a discussion about where ICANN is in terms of internet governance, and then we'll open it up to the floor for questions and answers. All right?
Which word did you use? What word did you use? Which word?
Just wrapping up with the registry, so Well, that allows me to tell my favorite joke about Luke, I know what you're going to get for Christmas.
Gee, do you?
Yes, I have felt your presence.
Okay. Well, on that note, welcome. So I know that your board colleagues have been invited. Any that are able to make it will be glad to welcome them in, but I know we only have a limited amount of time with the two of you, so let's go ahead and get started. First, thanks for making time for us. We sent a few agenda items out to Diane to pass along to you. So I know there are some things that we're interested in hearing about, and then we want to leave some time for questions as well. But if I may, we're looking for some input from the two of you on some high-level ICANN issues. Number one, current areas of priority for ICANN and for ICANN management, and then the rationale behind why those things are priorities. I think that would help us inform our own directions on certain things. And then we're also interested in the entire idea of internet governance and where ICANN finds its place in that world right now. So if we could lead off with those two topics, and I apologize because this microphone is the only one that we can use up here. Everybody else's works well down there, so we're going to have to share. So may I hand those two questions off to you to begin?
Well, why don't you give me one of them and I'll ask.
Right. So the first one would be, what are current areas of priority for ICANN and for the management and the board, and what's the reasoning behind those priorities?
Yes, the answer is here in the strategic plan, which came through the strategic planning process, and where we really appreciate all the time that you put in and a lot of the members of the community, really organizing our activities into four areas. Is one of the things that I wanted to do as CEO coming in is just say, how do we get more focused on what we do and do excellent execution in those areas, we hope, as we move forward and continually improve. So those areas are DNS security and stability, consumer choice, competition, and innovation, IANN and core operations, and a healthy internet ecosystem. And most of the registrar activity would fall under consumer choice, competition, and innovation. But obviously, you touch on other issues as well, and are a very important part of the ecosystem. So the strategic planning process gets developed by the community based on the priorities of the community. The next step in the process is developing the operating plan and budgets from this document. So you'll have some items on here like IPv4, IPv6 work, as an example, where we don't really invest much. I mean, we continue to run the IANA function, of course, in address allocation, which we must do as a central authority, but we don't really invest funds in IPv6 advocacy. We'll do it at public forums like this, for example, but we don't have a dedicated program because we would community feedback in the process is that that's a priority, but it's not one that rates as highly as the others. So that fundamentally is the overall process. And so that's posted online, and if anyone has questions, please ask me or anyone on staff.
Questions on that issue for Peter? Adrian?
Rod, I asked this question earlier, and to be honest, I haven't had a chance to look it up, but maybe you can give me a quick response. Is DNS cert in that strategic plan?
DNS cert is in the strategic plan. It's not in the operating plan.
Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Rod. There was some input on the part of the registrars as well in terms of curiosity about where ICANN finds itself in the internet governance world. I know there's been historical debates going back and forth between the ITU and others who are interested in a hand in internet governance. So where does that stand right now? Where does ICANN find itself in that environment?
I guess I have to say I don't really understand the question. Where do we stand in that environment? What we've got is a the first international multi-stakeholder bottom-up policy development process governing a crucial resource. It happens to be the internet, and the resources that we govern are the names and numbers. And we've been doing this now for 12 years, and we've built it up from a good idea into a functioning organisation that, by and large, disputes with each other and with others aside, we now feel very proud of. We think it's working very well. We had a major progress step last year when we signed the affirmation of commitments, ended the joint project agreement. And just a reminder about that, what we say at ICANN and what we've been saying all the time is, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it, we're going to act in the public interest, or we're going to act in the interest of the internet community. And what the affirmation of commitments said was, all right, well, the relationship with the US government is, promise to the US government that you're going to continue delivering those commitments you've made to the rest of the people. In other words, they're not commitments to the US government, these are commitments to the world. And the way the arrangement works, the way that's tested is not by the US government, it's tested by you and the review teams, the internal ICANN created, managed review teams are going to test to see whether we're meeting those commitments. So internally, I think we're in a very good shape. We're now much more responsible for ourselves, and we're judging ourselves, and we're responsible to the community that we serve. So I think we stand on stronger ground in terms of responsibility for ourselves and carrying out our mission than we ever have before. We've seen the consequences of that in terms of the IGF developing and using many of our systems and are being supported by ICANN. So, in a very open-ended question, where do we stand? I think we stand on strong ground because of the strength of the people and the policies and the processes and the commitments that we make, and then the honouring of those commitments.
If I can just to expand on that, what Peter said precisely, describes the overall situation. I will mention an area in which this group can help, because you've got a lot of relationships around the world, and that is that the IGF group has come up with a pretty good-looking proposal for approval at the UN General Assembly this summer in July. To the extent you have relationships with different countries with the countries you're from and others, or the representatives in the General Assembly, we would really appreciate your support for the proposal as it stands that came out of a process that was concluded in Geneva about a month ago. Okay, so what that is IGF, like WSIS, was created on a 5-year cycle. At least I believe WSIS was also 5 years. So it's run its course. And the question is, should it be renewed? And then there was a discussion of how should it be shaped. So one question is it renewed? The other is, how is it reshaped? Should it be reshaped to not a multi-stakeholder any longer? Because at present, IGF is a meeting where, just like ICANN, all the stakeholders have access to the platform to describe their issues, where they think the internet should be going, and policies. Another model is a traditional United Nations model, which is nation-state only, where nation states would present, and multi-stakeholders could sit in the audience, perhaps, but not participate in presenting. So the multi-stakeholder model has made it into the current presentation with support. Support looks to be strong, but there's always some risk. And it's our sense, coming from the ICANN and the open ecosystem of different parties as well, that IGF functioning in a multi-stakeholder fashion is more desirable from the standpoint of this ecosystem. So that's the help that we seek. There will be a vote. It's the policy document's been developed, but it can be edited in the last in the final period, and it can change until it's approved. So that's not done until basically a month from now. So to the extent you like the multi-stakeholder community model and you want to support it, would be helpful in that process. Thank you.
And can I just add, having said where we stand, and Rod's opened the door to the relationships with external bodies, that's something also that's in our strategic plan. It's under the heading of a healthy ecosystem. We're very concerned to have good, mutually respectful relationships with all the other members of the I community, and in furtherance of that, you may be interested to know that the ICANN board had a joint meeting at this here in Brussels with the board of ISOC, and compared the kind of things we do. Where's their overlap? Where can we help with each other? Rod and I have both attended IETF meetings in the last year or so. We very much value the relationship we have with the IETF. We're looking to how to strengthen that, work together, look after each other in the international community. We have the same relationship with the IGF. We help fund that. We have people on the MAG and those sorts of things. So there's active work going on, deriving from the strategic plan in terms of maturing and developing the ecosystem. So, again, a very open-ended question. Was if there was something more specific that you wanted to ask, I'm happy to try and dive into any of the detail of that a bit more. Question.
Yeah, Greg.
Just to follow up, at least to me, part of what Mason's question is related to my experience at the when we had a dialogue with the GAC, basically with a concern on their part that if we don't take rapid action with respect to certain law enforcement concerns, that's going to call into question how quickly this multi-stakeholder model can deal with issues of priority, and whether or not that's going to somehow make those representatives lose confidence in this organization. And I think that, to me, that was just concerning approach to have. And I would wonder if you could just comment if you've experienced that same thing, if you heard that from members of the GAC.
That if we don't move quickly on some issues, we'll damage the concept of the multi-stakeholder model? No, I haven't heard anything put as bluntly as that.
I haven't heard it put as bluntly as that. I think at the same time we recognize that there's many countries who are raising that issue, and I hope that we can deal with it as a community, but it's really tough, right? Because there's different values in different parts of the world. There's even in any country, you know, such here as in Europe, very strong privacy values and privacy laws that are different than sometimes what law enforcement might want. So there's very strong and different opinions in this field. And I think it's a real great challenge for us to think about what can we do to improve on the who is side, and can we come up with constructive ways to bridge the gap. So I want to recognize the concern that you're expressing and say I am hearing that in general, but have not heard it specifically from the GAC.
Thanks, Adrian Kinderis. I think we've had a few discussions here today about the registrar's outward perception and what we're thought of in the ICANN community. Lately we've been addressing a few issues. Some of the bad actors are tarring us along with them. I just wanted to ask you explicitly, what is your perception, whether it's yourself or what you're seeing at a board level or a staff level, of the registrars, and how can we, if there is any low points, what should we be doing to address them?
As someone who comes from a profession where 95% of them give the rest of us a bad name, I know exactly what you mean. No, I'm just joking. Personally, I've always regarded the interaction, the registrars as a community, as an enormously innovative, exciting, entrepreneurial, challenging bunch. I think that's the engine room of innovation, the products, the services that you guys have, the market mechanisms that you develop, the interfaces that you create with consumers, are in many ways the lifeblood of the industry. On the other hand, all of those things bring with them challenges of performance, expectation, obligations, fiduciary duties, legal compliance, etc., that we all know about. So in many ways, it's a very challenging community. I think the registrar constituency handles those as best it can, and that the people who show up, of course, are the ones who come with great intentions and participate and abide and, you know, are part of the institution building of ICANN. And I'm, extremely, grateful on behalf of the board for all of that. So if you like, that's my perception of it. The reality is that there are bad registrars, and they have to be dealt with under the rules that we've created for bad registrars, and we have to make sure that those processes are fair and transparent and meet all the usual obligations. So I don't think, turn to staff in a minute, but there's certainly no perception at the board level, and there are some other directors in the room, that the board thinks that the registrars are the bad guys or need any closer attention than any other part of the constituency.
I would just take the 95-5 joke, you flip it the other way. I mean, I think our sense on staff is that most of the registrars are excellent, you know, industry participants and partners for ICANN, and the ICANN team works in compliance and other different areas, and feels that the good registrars really help us, in fact, in trying to clean up the environs and deal with the compliance issues of those that are not. So our sense is that your community has been very, very supportive of the constructive compliance efforts to increase the quality of registrars, so we're really appreciative of that and feel that the level of cooperation overall has been extremely high is the feedback that I get.
Just as a specific example, Adrian, I took quite a lot of interest last year in the development of what's become the vertical integration argument, the registry-registrar separation, and met with a number of people trying to get things ready, and in the end we had that very successful, I think, debate in Seoul. And during the course of that, a number of people who were opposed to some of the positions tried to characterize the argument as being good guys against bad guys and said, you know, well, hang on, these registrars want this, and you know the registrars are the guys who cause all the problems. And let me just tell you that I wouldn't allow that as part of the conversation. I said, I'm not going to have unsubstantiated ad hominem attacks on a group. Let's discuss the policies. So, I mean, you're not getting a bad rap, I don't think.
So we have a queue going, so I want to keep the questions going. There is one thing that before you leave, we're gonna discuss with you, and that's the RAA, because it's an open issue right now. But since there are so many questions coming this way, I want to keep that going. So, Mohammed.
Thank you. Well, I think that my question comes to the board regarding one aspect of the organization. I think that ICANN is strong because of the constituency that are really strong, and I think that we really have to focus on how we can give more strength to the organization in that internationalization process. And I wonder if you look at the numbers, and I think that it's very important to look at the distribution of the registrar worldwide. And if you look at in Africa, less than 4 registrar, it comes to me, it raised the question, do we think that we need to find mechanism to enforce the numbers of registrar in some areas, because the whole model that we have lays on that registrar connection. I know that it's a business interest, somebody can do that, but if we know that getting a stronger internationalization of the organization will help more get that coherency in that constituency. Do you think that it might be an issue to find out, to have ways to get more registrar active in Africa rather than just letting things moving that way? Because in other constituencies like the ASO, so I can help AFRINIC to set up. They help also CCTLDs to get best practice and all this stuff. So I don't know if on the GNSO we can think about getting some mechanism to reinforce that distribution of to get more active registrar in the region, because the lack of registrar harm a little bit the penetration of the dominant business in the whole African region.
A very challenging question. You're absolutely right, Mohammed, when you say that, you know, ICANN is strong when the constituencies are strong. The question would be then, does not having as many registrars from Africa make this constituency weak to the extent that it then needs some kind of artificial or external support? The first response would be, if this community thinks that, then this community is perfectly open in developing itself, because I'm a great believer in the bottom-up development model and the self-supporting. And that is, in fact, what happens in my home patch, if you like, in terms of the country code. That constituency is built up with those who can afford pay more than those who can't. And, you know, I'm not sure what the mechanisms in this community are for helping develop areas like that. So that would be my first response. I think you'd need to show that the policy-making process that is the primary requirement, the primary purpose of ICANN, that the contribution to the policy-making process was missing something, and I'm not saying that it's not. There may well be a vital African registrar view that needs to be fed into the process. But until you can show that, I think I'd be very cautious of having effectively subsidies from different parts of the organisations to strengthen any particular part. Is that a help?
The only thing I can add is, first, you know, thanks for sharing those thoughts and that perspective. I I did just confer with Tim, who shares that the highest growth in registrars is outside of North America now. So, I mean, most of the growth is around the world in different geographies. Of course, also in geographies, there's different models with many countries and the country code operators often serving as their own registrar. And I'm sure you know that map a lot better than I do. But appreciate the comments, and we'll watch that space. We don't have specific efforts, and relating to Peter's comments as well, in terms of trying to create new registrars. We do want the ones that are out there to become ICANN accredited, and we promote that.
Just add one, we are actually doing outreach, you know, to the extent we can, but we end up in that kind of same financial concern that also came up about new GTLDs, and that, you know, do we subsidize people that can't afford the basic costs of getting on board and that sort of thing? And right now, we don't have any means for doing that, so that. That is often the biggest obstacle is the financial.
Thanks, Mason. Elliot Noss. We need your help on a couple of issues. So much energy and effort at these meetings tends to get dragged down by narrow, specific special interests beating their hobby horses. We all want intellectual property rights respected. We all want law enforcement to be able to do their jobs. What we're starting to push for as registrars now, and what we'll need your help with, is work towards all parties understanding that they have a very important role that they can play. So I'm going to be specific around two or three issues. First, as it relates to intellectual property, rather than just make a series of demands to be baked into the RAA, to heap a bunch of obligations on all registrars because of some allegations that some are some edge cases are bad, what we need to do is to work together, registrars and IP interests, to develop good practices and bad practices. And in that regard, we need to make sure that staff, when putting out positions that relate to intellectual property, take both sides, not just listen to one side and issue statements. As it relates to law enforcement, we had a very productive discussion today with law enforcement. We believe, I think everybody in this room, I think they walked out of the room believing that we can work together to make law enforcement much more effective. And the way that that will work is by us dealing with issues, responsibilities on both sides. Law enforcement will need to figure out a validation process so that we as registrars know who law enforcement are and what we can do when we have specific instances, and don't have to deal with, you know, the sheriff in a small town who's dealing with a domestic dispute and a million other examples. We need both law enforcement and the board to help push an agenda that deals with cross-border and extraterritoriality in enforcement of internet situations. They're just not practical at a national level. If we want to clean up the who-is mess, the GAC can play a vital role. We as registrars don't know what address validation fields are good in each country. Each individual GAC member, working together with registrars or with the ICANN community in some other way, can provide the address verification methodology for their specific country. We can rationalize. With all of those things, those are just a series of bullet point ideas. Each one of them can be fleshed out, registrars working with those groups, and can create a much, much more efficient and effective regime for all of these things that we both want. The obligation on board is to support that process, and the obligation on staff is to not only support that process, but to reject efforts to go around the process, backdoor lobbying, specific narrow special interest advocation, and to try and go backdoor through the RAA to achieve what can't be achieved directly.
we need your help. Because the people in this room, you know, what we're all tired of hearing is we have this world of problems, but it's not you guys. It's these other people, these vague other people. And because of that, we're going to heap a bunch of operating obligations on you. So as we specifically put forward positive offers in these regards, we're going to need your help at both a board and a staff level. Thanks.
Well, the response from the board is yes. Tell us what we can do to help, and we'll have a look at it. So when they when those proposals come forward, fine.
Good. We're going to be discussing vertical integration a little bit later because that's certainly one of them.
Not sure, quite sure how that relates to the GAC or law enforcement, but let me know.
Okay, on that issue, while others are formulating their questions, I want to address the RAA for a bit because I know it's been a topic of discussion in multiple arenas. As Elliot said, we had a very good discussion with law enforcement today. We had a very productive session with the GAC on Sunday. We've talked with the ICANN staff about their own concerns about the RAA and enhanced enforcement tools. We're meeting with the ALAC tomorrow to talk more specifically about the RAA. I think registrars have concerns in general about parts of the process that have been used to address concerns over the RAA. So, number one, it's important for us to make it well known that the RAA is not a policy tool, nor really should it be treated as one. It's an agreement between two parties. And, excuse me, and there needs to be a delineation between the RAA as the contract that it is and the GNSO process, which is for the purpose of policy development. So when it comes to the RAA or PDPs that go through the GNSO, the registrars want to look at the desired outcomes of the people acting in those arenas. What we talked about with the law enforcement community was they're in the business of solving problems on the Internet, and so are we. We want to help them do that. There are multiple avenues for doing so. It may be amendments to the Registrar Accreditation Agreement. It may be the GNSO PDP process. It may be us getting in the room with law enforcement and saying, what's the problem and can we help solve it in the least invasive method? So we're concerned that the perception of others in the community is that the RAA can be sort of endlessly amended, and we have to react as businesses to that endless list of amendments, and there's no predictability. So what we're trying to do as one of our objectives is find an avenue where the RAA can be amended from time to time, but in a predictable way, so that we know what we can rely on year over year, and then absorb changes as in a reasonable manner.
Thanks, Mason. Firstly, delighted to hear that you've been having these meetings with these other groups. That can only be productive, sharing of the. I thought that possibly what Elliot was asking was help from the board to facilitate those kind of meetings. But if you're having them, that's fine. If we can help facilitate, let us know. I'm going to push back gently, I think, on the suggestion that the RAA is narrow, or the interested parties to the RAA is narrow, as you put it. I'm pretty sure that if we ask the GAC, ALAC, and the rest of the GNSO, they all believe that they have a crucial, that it's an agreement that they have a stake in and that they have a role in developing. So I think we need to have need to get a bit of clarity around that. On the other hand, predictable amendment processes are obviously sensible, and I'm wondering whether whether there's anything to be learned from the way that the registry change process that's recently been. We've just come from a place where we've been fulsomely thanked for the way that that's been resolved in terms of changing the registry contract. I know perhaps Bruce or some others who've been reasonably close to some of that might be able to help share some of that information. But there are mechanisms that we can look at.
Peter, I think we all agree that the ALAC and others, the community has a stake in the services and products that registrars provide. I don't think there's an argument that they shouldn't have a voice in the process. We just want care to be taken about overuse of the RAA as about overuse of the RAA as a policy tool.
And if you can and let me, in terms of orderly amendment processes, if you do have examples of people going behind or you misusing the processes, I think they should be brought to light, if preferably to the board, but perhaps also to the Transparency and Accountability Review Team. If there's unaccountable processes and non-transparent steps going on, I think everyone has an interest in exposing that. Thank you.
Jeff.
Thanks. Well, first off, thanks, Peter and Rod, for saying all those good things about registrars earlier, that we're the engine of innovation and the lifeblood of the industry, because we've been compared to BP and some, and pretty much been the punching bag of the last 2 days, so it's nice to hear good things being told to us. So my question, I guess, is right now in the latest guidebook, registrars as a class are excluded from applying for a TLD, even though we have a long history of working with ICANN. And even if we pass all the background checks and all the questions, we're still excluded. So maybe now that you have us all here in a room as a group, can you let us know what as registrars can we do to help address the issues that the board has that led to the 2% restriction in the latest draft application guidebook? That being, but while saying that, I understand that we are working within the GNSO to try and address the issues, but still, what else could we do as a group, because you have all the registrars here, to help address some of the issues the board may have had to come that came up, that resulted in the 2% restriction?
Well, let's be clear that that's not directed at registrars. That's the board reacting to a process where the topic of the correct policy on vertical integration was being discussed. We were told that a working party was underway. We didn't want to make a decision until that had come out. And so we selected a relatively unpleasant default position, partly as stimulus to help encourage the parties to reach a conclusion quickly. The change from 0 to 2% was as a result of legal advice that we were very cautious about accepting, and that was that a 0 one was absolutely unworkable. Somebody could go out and buy a single share of a company or registrar or registry and exclude them from the process. So it was an attempt to say, well, 0, but with de minimis lifting it to 2%. We don't want to move that now because if we move it to something, any move we make has to be as a result under the affirmation of commitments and ordinary business process. If you want us to make a move, we're going to have to go and consult economists and go through a whole process and consultation to arrive at a decision. We're not going to make another arbitrary snatch a number from the air. So the pressure is on the community to come up with a properly worked through solution, not us.
So let me just respond. Thank you for that answer. And just as, I guess to say that, hopefully that the board does stay very strict on that 2% limit, and because that will bring the actors, everyone to the table, to the discussion, because if that is shown that it's going to be very strict and that's going to be in place and not to really test the board, then I think everyone will come to negotiate while others are thinking, hey, you know what, they're just going to drop back to 15%, so we don't really have to come to the table, and they're sort of rolling the dice on that.
Well, there's always some gamblers out there.
Thank you. I want to go back to the RIA, because I was on the drafting team the negotiating team for the last RIA, and it seems like we just got done it, and it's like a bad case of athlete's foot that keeps coming back and back. Is over and over again, we go through this process, and you talk about people end running around the process. I think what's going on now is an end run around the process. So it seems that a lot of people have gotten together and said, hey, we can't get what we want through the PDP process or through the GNSO. That's impossible. Let's go after the RIA, because that's an easier target, and we'll just get, you know, we won't go through the policy development process. We'll just jam it down their throats in the RIA. And I think that's what Elliot was alluding to a little bit, is this whole process is almost an end run around the policy development process by forcing us to negotiate, if you will, or the RIA. And I'm a little concerned, Peter, to hear you say you don't think this is, you know, you think everybody should have input and some negotiating power in this, whereas I believe it is an issue between us and ICANN. I mean, it's a contract I need to be able to base my business on. I just signed one, and now I'm back into a whole process where that may change in the next year or two. You know, that makes for a very unstable business environment. So, you know, along with clarity of how this can be amended in the future, we need to figure out, and I think it is incumbent on ICANN or ICANN staff to say, you know, this is what could be in an RIA, and these things are not. If you want to change how WHOIS works, go through the policy development process. Don't try and jam it in the RIA. And I think it's that non-clarity that's concerning a lot of us in terms of what can and can't be in the the amendments.
Is that because, I mean, I assume that those sorts of change, when I said the community had a voice, I intended them to exercise that voice through something like a PDP. But I'm also aware that there are limitations on what the PDP, is it a problem about what can be done through a PDP, and because it can't be done by a PDP, that they're forcing it through the contract?
No, I don't think it's a problem with it can't be done through a PDP. I think it's a problem of they don't think they can get the votes to get it through a PDP.
Well, then it must be a complete answer to someone who's asking you to sign a to negotiate a contractual term that could be done through a PDP to say, either asked and answered through the PDP process, or just simply go away and do it over here.
I believe that.
I'm completely on your side.
We absolutely believe that. I don't think ICANN staff have ever been clear about stating that.
Well, then,
and that's
well, let's be clear. If there is a mechanism for them to have their input through a PDP, that's how they have to do it.
Okay, thank you.
And if you need, if I can help you clarify that, that's what the PDP process is for. But my sense is that because the PDP is so limited in what it can actually address. But Bruce, you're much more au fait with these limitations than I am. Can you help me?
Yeah, look, I think, Peter, this the mic's working. This has been the crux of the problem, I think, in the past 2 years, is what's policy versus what's implementation. And I think that's probably where we need to really sit down and try and spec that out some more. But I'll use the example of vertical integration, because that's another one of those. It started off being an implementation. Well, people thought it was an implementation of the registry agreement in the new GTLD applicant guidebook. So basically, the new GTLD policy was simply that you needed to use ICANN accredited registrars. That was the policy position. Then people questioned the contract, because there was a registry agreement, and questioned should that registry agreement be changed to make it clear what the ownership rules might be. And so then there's a whole discussion about a couple of sentences in the agreement that then mushroomed into a huge discussion at ICANN. We had economists' reports, we had panels, and then that actually almost went on for 2 years, and then we said, actually, this is a policy issue. Hey, GNSO, go and have a look at it. So we've almost wasted 2 years where maybe right at the beginning, as soon as that question got raised, I think as an organisation we should have said, good question, that's a policy issue, kick off a PDP now, 2 years ago. And I think we'd be in a much better position. And I think what you're hearing from the registrars is same sort of things happening with the RAA. You've got interested parties looking at a sentence, that's maybe there's a sentence about who is. And they're saying, gee, for years we think that who is should be better. Hey, how about we just add another sentence in the registrar contract to say something that suits us with respect to who is. And I think we need to call that sort of stuff out and say, is it consistent with the existing who is policy? Then fine, you can negotiate it in the contract. But if you are creating policy, let's take it off the table. It's not a term in the agreement. It's a policy topic. The agreement is purely an implementation of a policy. It's not the place where the policy debate happens. And the policy's heavyweight process, it's got multiple representation, and as Rob says, it's hard to get something through that. Maybe we should address why that's so hard and address improving the policy process, but don't backdoor it into suddenly, oh, let's add a few lines of text in the registrar agreement, because that's exactly what happened with vertical integration. We spent 2 years arguing the two lines of text. There's only about two lines that relate to vertical integration in the registry agreement. We should have said right up front, hey, that's a policy issue, let's deal with it right up front as a policy issue.
And I don't think getting anything through the GNSO is hard. What's hard is the stuff that's very, very contentious and doesn't have consensus. And it should be hard to get through that process if there isn't consensus and we can't find agreement. So it's when it's the people that think they can't get through that because their ideas are too radical or too different that need to be able to backdoor into the RA is what I'm seeing now. Yeah, I agree.
Rob,
yeah.
Just to respond here to some of those thoughts, and I think it's a very constructive dialogue you're bringing up here. I mean, clearly you've got contracts on the one hand, you've got policy development on the other hand, and the reality is there can be a lot of overlap, right? And either party could steer either thing completely in the other direction. What I'd like to maybe offer for a suggestion for us to explore is could we maybe come up with some draft guidelines or understanding that are not contractually binding in terms of what goes into RA process versus the PDP process, but at least have some guidelines that then staff could work from. Because I know there's sensitive legal issues here involved, as well as the ICANN political processes. I think from the staff side, we benefit from clarity, where clarity can happen. And sometimes that can happen just, definitively. If you can draw a really clean line, it's, easy. one, it's more complex, but maybe I just like to invite the discussion. Certainly we'd be willing to participate in a discussion of trying to reach a better understanding of where that line is. And then, you know, that could even go through the policy process where you don't necessarily want to take it. Otherwise, it could just be sort of a draft practices guideline that we might share or work together on between the registrars and ICANN. So what I'm saying is
we already have that to a certain extent, though, Ron. Okay. I mean, we already have what's called the picket fence of issues that can be decided that we automatically under this contract get bound by if they are decided. So it's, you know,
it just pick a fence seeing, doesn't go far enough.
No, what we're seeing is in the attempting to modify the RIA, there's things that are clearly in the picket fence, like who is policy, that they're now trying to say, I don't want it there, I want to jam it in the RIA as an end run. So even if staff said, look, this is a picket fence issue, it won't change the RIA. The RIA already covers if you put a policy into place here. That would be helpful, I think. Anything that starts down the line of, look, this is in, this is out. Because I think where that line is now, even under contract, is being misinterpreted by a lot of parties.
Okay.
So and I agree with you. Maybe we go through looking at modifying that of what else can be in or out. But I think there are things clearly now that are in and out of that area that parties are trying to move back and forth across that line. And it's a contract issue already. I mean, we've already signed a contract that says one thing that I think we just need to be clear about.
Okay, thank you. Well, we look forward to the conversation and seeing if we can build a better understanding of at least what should be clear given the picket fence.
Right, fair enough.
Okay, Mason, you had me next.
Can I just confirm? I mean, this is so fundamental to the ICANN model that this work and that then those contracts reflect the proper process, so if we can't get this right, let me know, because I want to get this right. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, Peter, Bruce, you want to go on point here?
A very quick point is also separating contract from best practices. So I think we can do some more work. I think someone made the point yesterday that a contract lasts for, say, 5 years. It's a long-term change. The industry and bad, let's call it bad practices like malicious conduct, changes much faster than that, and trying to jam things into a contract is probably not the best way of dealing with bad behaviour, just taking the law enforcement as an example. So I think what I've heard from the registrars in the session yesterday was also around getting best practices. And best practices, because they're not contractually binding, can actually be updated much more frequently. That can be a useful focus, I think, in addition to the contract. Contract's black and white. Yeah, that's also start doing some more work around guidelines and practices.
If I can just quickly, one thing we found out from ICANN staff that may help portray this a little bit is this morning they said there's never, we realized there's never been a member of this constituency disciplined or de-accredited by ICANN, ever. So what happens is when you're talking to the people in this room that attend ICANN meetings, you're not talking to that fringe element that everybody's trying to whack with a blunt instrument, to be quite frank. I mean, I used that term earlier. They're trying to solve a very narrow problem, and the only way they're doing it is targeting us all. And I think that's what got a lot of people upset is we need to find a way to deal with the people that aren't here, because it's not the people in this room or part of our constituency that are causing the problem.
How would we do that? Literally, I mean, make this, I guess literally have a definition for those that are not members of the registrar constituency, but if we did that, then that'd be game. Wouldn't that system be game? Or what's your thought on mechanisms?
No, I think it's incumbent on ICANN to realize that the people that are here trying to help you are not the ones that are causing the problem. And it's such a narrow fringe that are causing the problem. We need to find a way to deal with them that doesn't target us all and penalize us all for trying to help.
Right.
And
I'm accepting your argument,
right.
And I'm asking what the mechanism
the
is for. Yeah, what the solution is to determine those that are not in the room that are the bad guys, and how you separate the two.
That's not super complex. We'll take
Thank you. We have a queue, and we only have 10 more minutes.
Great.
So
I'll be real quick.
Yeah, Elliot was next, and then it was JC. And then Tim and Christine. All right. And then Peter's asked for 3 minutes at the end to pose a couple of questions. Before we do that, I know there are several other members of the board of directors in here. I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge the fact that they're here with us and to say thank you for making time to hear the registrars. Thank you for being here. Okay, Elliot.
Yeah, I want to, Peter, it seems you didn't get what I was referring to before. Rob put a finer point on it. That RAA process reopening is an end run. And
board and staff are complicit to the extent that they give a main ballroom dais to the people, you know, to the IPC in particular, who are putting that agenda forward. When you put items on the schedule, when you give people a room, when you give people the big room, you're making a statement that is a cultural statement that does two things. One, it says to those people that their end run is working. Two, it says to the whole rest of the ICANN community, and especially the casual observers who don't know better, that these are real and important issues, when in fact they're not. They're things that didn't get negotiated in the last RAA, and they weren't able to be successful through a PDP. They are narrow, special interest issues that can be best dealt with elsewhere. And when you give them that dais, what happens is we don't deal with it constructively. We end up being attacked, and we end up being on the defensive, and constructive solutions don't get done.
Sorry. Hi. Jean-Christophe from EuroDNS. I wanted to come back to the VI issue and to your comment, Peter. I'm paraphrasing, but I believe you said that 0 or 2% was, in a sense, a device to provoke a reaction from the community. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know. Well, the first point, I think, is I kind of object to the device as a cavalier approach to a problem for which some of us, some registrars, have invested years of efforts and significant amount of money. So if it's just a test, that's a bit of a pity. More importantly, if it's a test, does it mean that the 0 or 2% in the DAG is just a placeholder that should be removed if, God forbid, the VIVG, WG doesn't reach a solution? The reason I'm asking is I wouldn't want us to be stuck with 2% just as a result of a test. Or if there is a good reason for 2%, I'd like to hear it formally.
There was not a lot on that. I think the answer to your question is if the VI doesn't come up with a solution, then the board is going to have to. I'm not prepared at this stage to say what the board will do. It may well be that we stick with the current default position. We may do something worse. I mean, the proper place for this to be resolved is in the VI and as soon as possible.
The problem is, as you said, the board is going to have to resolve the issue, but at the moment, we don't know what the board thinks about the issue. We asked, the group asked, to know, to have some kind of interpretation of the Nairobi resolution, and nothing.
What does it really matter what the board thinks? The solution is in your hands. We will do what you tell us to do. You've got this round the wrong way. What we think, you know, we're not the policy-making body for ICANN, you are. So what we think is, I can understand you might be interested, and then, you know, Jean-Jacques might think it should be 12, and George might think it should be 42, and I might think it should be 6.5. I mean, how is that helpful to you, other than working out how to game the VI process? So we're not going to tell you. Get into the VI, work out
with
the group.
You did tell us.
We created a default position, a holding pattern.
You told us. And now anybody who doesn't want to reach a consensus can dig their heels in, and that becomes the go forward.
Exactly.
It rewards bad behavior.
Sorry, if I can come in there. Elliot, if you can show that that is the case, then I will move a resolution on the board, and if I get enough support, then you'll have it, to create an equally unpleasant environment which involves some other percentage or some other calculation. But the point is, we desperately need policy to come from GNSO, and if policy is going to take too long to development through a PDP, in the same way as the CCs did around IDNs, then give us a fast track for now and continue with the PDP while the fast track doesn't hold up the process of applying for new Gs. If you can sort that out, then I think the board will clarify that we'll make it mean whatever you want it to make it mean, whatever you want it to mean because it's your process.
Mike, there was a default position. It was the existing rules that were in effect. The default position was changed.
That was a suggestion in the draft applicant guidebook. That was never a board position, Elliot, with all respect.
Okay. We got time for one more. It's Tim, and then the floor is Peter. Tim.
A comment first, backing up onto the RAA issue, and just that for me, the crux of the issue is that we need these frameworks that we've kind of talked about in place. We need to have a predictable way to amend the agreement, not just because we're concerned about it being used as a policy tool or a blunt instrument, but because they're in these discussions with law enforcement or in the RAA working group, if there are things that we want to change, if there are things that we think could be best changed through the RAA, right now we don't really have an appropriate mechanism to do that. So we really need that, I think, first and foremost, and then something like the best practices, the non-binding best practices that we discussed. It would help to have that, some idea of a framework for that in place, so as these discussions continue, we have some place for these things to go and for us to have some sort of a good resolution in the end. And then just on the vertical integration or the new GTLDs, let's put it that way, not vertical integration, I've just... If the board can give us any level of comfort, maybe not a guarantee, in regards to the upcoming retreat where new GTLDs are going to be discussed in September, you know, can we have a reasonable expectation that we're not going to see a number of new overarching issues that will develop as a result of some of the things that I've heard during the last few days of this meeting, like, you know, categories and DNS instability and those kinds of issues?
Let me just confirm again that I hear you on the contract issue, and this is so important to a proper functioning of ICANN that the contracts are formed by the multi-stakeholder process and then are able to be changed effectively, etc. So, I mean, I think Rod and I might just have a little offline discussion about how we can make sure this is getting done properly. In relation to the retreat, that's the actual topic I wanted to leave you with. I certainly can't guarantee that those topics, further overarching issues, won't emerge, but I can pretty well guarantee that no board member is going to put any on the list. But we can't stop them from coming from somewhere else. You may have noticed a trend with me at the microphone that when people try and raise new issues at this stage, I tend to suggest they should have raised them in the GNSO 3, 4, 5 years ago. So if you can take a clue from my attitude to that might be helpful. Can I just finish then? We've only got a couple of minutes. I am actually just wanting to ask you to explore the idea of this retreat. The current timetable thinking is that the DAG 4 is out. We're having discussions about it here, but the public comment process closes in 2 or 3 weeks' time. And then I gather that some of the ICANN staff actually want to take summer holidays, and I'm a bit surprised at that, but I guess there's not much we can do about it. No, obviously they work hard and they deserve it. So the practical reality of getting a new set of write-ups as a result of the public comment period closing to the board for consideration on these issues is going to be about the existing scheduled retreat that the board was going to have. So what I've said is we'll take that retreat, we'll turn it into a GTLD retreat, that's all we'll discuss, and we will try and close every single outstanding issue that we can, and hopefully from that will come the applicant guidebook, the end of drafts. So the question really is, do you think it would be helpful if we can structure it to have what John Nevitt and others have started calling a summit, a day or 2 days of community discussion on any of these emerging issues before that? I think there's some real concern about that. Recognise that those people who want to slow the process down will use that as their final chance to blow it up. That's where, you know, the last hand grenades of categories or other things may get thrown. But if we can structure it appropriately, you know, would a day or 2 days of community discussion just before the retreat, knowing that the board was voting, knowing that we were trying to close things down, would that be helpful? So can I just leave you with that? I don't expect you to answer that now, but if you can get a message back to us. And the last one is much more a housekeeping topic, and that is the structure and the format of the relationship between the board and the CEO and the chair with the community. What Rod and I are doing is perpetuating a model sort of created a long time ago where the Vint and Paul show would come to town and talk to you, and, you know, it seems to work quite well. I think we've got quite a lot out of today, and we've had a useful discussion. But can you just have a think about that? What are the other ways that you would like to interact with the whole board or with the staff? And I'm saying this to all the groups. There's a kind of institutionalizing of the GNSO dinner and the CC breakfast, and I want to look at all of those things to make sure that we're actually having the right quality, amount, nature of the exchange. I mean, one of the ideas is, why do we do the same thing at every meeting all through the year? Perhaps what we should do is have a whole day with the registrars. Once a year, would you like a really, really long session where Elliot can really help me understand those things that I didn't understand properly the first time? So can I just leave you with that thought? Think about and take up as a topic the nature, quality, extent, framework, etc. of your exchange. Would you like to have a session with the whole board? You know, Kateem's behind you, hasn't had a chance of standing. Do people want to hear what Kateem has to say about something? So I'm not going to ask him standing now, but just using it as an example that you know, you tend to hear mostly from the chair and the CEO, and maybe you want a session where you hear from other board members as well. Thanks.
On that note, Kateem had his hand up forever. Did you want to contribute something before we close?
Yeah, thank you very much. And it's been a very interesting discussion, but my take on it, and I'll try to be very, very brief, although that's going to be quite a challenge for me. What I think is that ultimately the board has to take leadership responsibility for this. I think it is a cop-out to try to hide behind the mantra of or the paradigm of the bottom-up process. Ultimately, if we have a situation where the various stakeholders come to a draw, I mean, we really can't have them to come to a reasonable to a conclusion, the board has to come to take a leadership position and to come to a decision on the matter that's going to be in the interest of the greater public good. And I just rest my case there.
Okay, thank you. On that note, there's one other thing I want to do, and that's say on behalf of the registrars, a thank you. He's not in the room, I don't think, but just a thank you if you could pass it along to Doug Brent, who's leaving us shortly.
There will be an opportunity at the end of the public forum. I know a lot of people have a great deal of goodwill for Doug, so make sure you hang on around, and if you want to just give him a standing ovation in the public forum, that would be much appreciated.
All right, thank you. And then also, just since they are in the room, I want to say thank you to Tim Cole and his team who serve this stakeholder group admirably and do a great job of liaising with us. So. Yeah. So thank you to Tim and Stephen and Mike and everyone else. So gentlemen, the members of the board, thank you for taking your time to spend with us today, and we'll see you again shortly. Thank you. Okay, registrars, we're taking a 10-minute break, and when we reconvene, we'll be back in private session. Then at 4:00, we meet with the registries in this room. Okay, so 10-minute break, 3:15 is registrars only. Then 4:00, back open with the registries. All right, thank you.